Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. Whether you are here in front of me, joining us on Zoom, or are listening to this service as a recording at a later date, you are all very welcome. As always, the intimations are contained within the order of service, but I would just like to draw your attention to one. Our service of Holy Communion, led by our minister, will take place next Sunday here at 11 a.m. All are welcome to the Lord's table, and a reminder for parents of Sunday Club children that they are to go straight upstairs for godly play next Sunday. I think the teenagers, youth seekers, are staying in for the first part of the service, but the younger ones are out for the whole service. Coming back to today, our call to worship this morning is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. This morning, as we walk along the road to Emmaus, we are reminded that where two or three gather in his name, he is with us. And our first hymn reminds us that when we walk with the Lord, he is there if we just trust and obey. So let us join together and sing the hymn, When We Walk With the Lord.
Thank you.
let us pray. God the Creator, we come in awe of you. We are overwhelmed by the wonder of your creation. We are inspired by the mystery of life. We are amazed by the beauty of your world. We are astonished that such a God would have anything to do with the likes of us. So we come before you in awe and wonder, humbled before your greatness. God the Son, who has come amongst us in the person of Jesus, you have walked our streets, you have lifted our children, you have sat in our church. So we come with you beside us, no longer remote and distant. We come no longer in fear and trembling, but seeking the embrace of your love, the smile of your acceptance, the touch of your forgiveness. We dare to come close to you because you have come close to us. God, the Spirit of life, we are thankful for your constant presence, for your healing love, for the challenge of your word, for the inspiration of your gospel, for the community of your church. Renew us and refresh us. Enable us and enliven us. Challenge us and change us. Prompt us and improve us in our worship, in our mission, and in our service. We offer you thanks and praise at all times through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing again hymn number 476, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord. like to come down to the front and keep me company? How are we today? Are we good? Now, I know I can see that you wear glasses like me. How many of our congregation also wear glasses? Can I have a hands up? Did you see how many hands went up? Most of. So, our story today starts with a boy called Emmett. And Emmett didn't know that he had anything wrong with his eyes. He thought that everything just had fuzzy edges, that he needed to have his books right up close to him so that he could see. And it was only when his mum thought, Emmett's sitting very close to the TV, and the school teacher noticed that he couldn't see all the words on the blackboard at the front, and he needed to have his books here, that people thought maybe he needed to go and see an eye doctor. So they took him to see an optometrist, and it turned out Emmett needed glasses. So when Emmett first got his glasses, he was a bit scared to put them on because he thought people might make fun of him. And I was a bit like that too when I got my glasses. But when he put them on, it was like a totally different world. And I think we're maybe all the same in the morning when we wake up and we're like, And then we put our glasses on. It's like, oh, there we go. So everything looked different to Emmett. So he suddenly realized that trees had leaves, that he could see people's faces further away. And it was just amazing for him. And although we might not all have problems with our eyesight, sometimes we have difficulty seeing and understanding things at times. And the Bible story that the adults are going to hear later on happened 3 days after Jesus was crucified. And it tells the story about how Jesus' disciples had trouble understanding what they had seen. So when Jesus died, his followers were very sad and upset. They thought that he had gone forever. And if you think about your best friend, if your best friend died, you would think they had gone forever too. And it would be very, very sad for everyone. And they didn't know what to do. They couldn't see things clearly because they were so mixed up and upset. So two of the disciples were walking along the road back home to a village called Emmaus. And a stranger started walking with them. They didn't know this stranger, but they started talking to him. And they told him all about Jesus and the story about what had happened a few days earlier. And then when they got home in the evening, they invited him in to share supper with him. And it was only when the guest, the stranger, sat down and he blessed the bread and he broke it that their eyes were opened and they realized that it was Jesus. That Jesus had been walking with them all this time, that he was alive and well. So suddenly they saw things clearly that they hadn't seen what had been right in front of them the whole day while they had been walking. But after they had eaten and Jesus had left, these two disciples ran back to tell all their friends that Jesus was alive. And sometimes we feel a bit confused and not quite sure what to do. But we need to remember that Jesus is with us and that we just need him to help us understand things because he helps us understand that God loves us and that he is always there for us and there's nothing to be afraid of. So let's just finish with a short prayer. So let's bow our heads. Father, we are thankful that as we travel along life's road, Jesus is walking with us and that he will help us see and understand the things that happen in our life. Amen. So we're going to sing again. This time it's a hymn, a song that I know that I chose the last time I did a service here back in February. But given the brilliant few days of sunshine that we've had, of springtime, the fact I like the words and the music, the tune, as Hannah would say, it's a great tune. It's very fitting for our service. We're going to sing Junior Praise number 99, I Have Seen the Golden Sunshine. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us whilst he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And the New Testament reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Praise be to God for the readings of his holy word. And we now continue the service with the singing of hymn 609, "Come Living God."
Thank you. It was near the end of the day, at the time when most of us feel tired and when, if events have gone miserably wrong, we may feel flat and discouraged. Two travellers plodded along the road, exchanging bitter disappointments and asking unanswerable questions. They were joined by a third traveller who at first seemed just another ordinary guy, another run-of-the-mill human being travelling the dusty road of life. They didn't recognise this stranger. Yet, as they were to discover in a moment of utter surprise at the close of this encounter, this common traveller was the risen Lord Jesus, God's Messiah, their Lord, who should have been able to be recognised anywhere, but somehow, earlier on the road, their eyes were kept from recognising him. Maybe that's the way it's been happening from the beginning. Maybe that's the way it still happens in our experience. The death-transcending love of God, the Lord who has been raised up, joins us incognito on life's journey. Maybe the Christ talks with us in ordinary situations, though and through ordinary people like us. That's not how we expect it to happen, nor is it how we might prefer it. We'd like our divine Saviour to somehow show himself to us in a dramatic way. Would we like perhaps a dramatic evangelical experience at the revival rally? A dramatic mystical experience in meditation and prayer? In a profound aesthetic experience in a beautiful cathedral in the flow of a beautiful liturgy? In a dramatic justice and peace happening? Or a dramatic vision at the foot of our bed at midnight? But sorry, that's not how it usually is with God. There can, of course, be special times. These may be dramatic. We can be grateful for them when they happen to us. But these dramatic moments are few. In fact, for some lovely Christians, there are no dramatic moments. For some, it is a steady growing and walking humbly with a God who stays hidden. I honestly believe that the most frequent way God approaches us is in ordinary people, in ordinary situations, those with whom we travel the common path, or whose way crosses ours on life's journey. The service today may seem a little low-key, not like the stirring Easter Day service we celebrated a couple of weeks ago. But is God any the less present? Those who only identify God with dramatic moments are dismally insensitive to the ways of God and abysmally ignorant of the biblical revelation of God. Today, at least, remember those two travellers who didn't recognise the stranger who walked with them for a while. And this is a bit of a strange story in part. The two men are walking to Emmaus. We're told it's a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem, but the present-day location is surprisingly unknown. One of the men is named Cleopas, and this is the only time his name gets a mention in the Bible, and the other is thought to be Simon. They have 2 or 3 hours for one of the most important human experiences, a long walk with a good friend to figure things out. Some walks are full of surprises, like the deer I spotted right in front of me one day when passing through the Serpentine near Tayport. Or the strangers you meet out in the countryside with whom you strike up a conversation. This is always a risk. It can be fortunate to expand the conversation, or you may meet someone who has no clue at all. In our text, Jesus takes on the latter role at first. Think now about another aspect of that story. As they plodded on, the stranger joined them and listened to them. Yes, listened to them. The triumphant, risen, glorious Christ travelled incognito and listened to their fears, doubts, and tentative hopes. In our twisted way of thinking, very important people don't listen to us. They speak with us, and more often they talk to us and at us. And the more august the person is supposed to be, the more we're supposed to just shut up and listen. But feel free to speak just now. However, the divine friend, whose glory the universe can't contain, listened to them. Like we may at times think, these two travellers thought life was completely mixed up and messed up. Everything that could go wrong had. Evil people were the winners, and good people were the losers. Jesus of Nazareth, the most wonderful and most graceful person they had ever met, had been brutally executed on a trumped-up charge. And where was God? How did God allow this to happen? Why didn't he intervene and stop that atrocity? Jesus said to the two, "Tell me about it." They did. They unburdened themselves. He listened. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and don't know the things that have happened here in these days? Verse 18. Well, I'm not sure I'm a visitor exactly, but I did go through a life change. So tell me, what things? In verse 19, Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet of mighty deed and word. I mean, he was an organizer, a narrator, so inspirational. And they silenced him. It was all legal, but there was no justice in this. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. We had hoped. And for the grammar lovers among us, this is the perfect imperfect verb tense. It means that in the past something happened repeatedly, but it no longer happens in the present. The present imperfect. The point is that they don't hope anymore. And when you don't hope, even though you hear of possibilities, you can't quite summon any enthusiasm because you can't bear to be disappointed again. Cleopas and Simon had been close enough to the action to know that the women had seen angels in the garden who said, "Jesus is arisen," but nothing from the apostles. And they looked around and didn't see anything. So now they're on the road out of town. But hopeful people just don't leave town. After they poured out their hearts, the next stage in the work of God took place. They were ready to listen to Christ. And as they listened, their souls resonated with the words he had to say. And here's where Jesus was a bit devious on that day. Why didn't he say what most angels and messengers from God say? "Don't be afraid, fear not. Take a closer look, it's me, Jesus." Instead, Jesus is throwing them off the scent. "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. We need to do some serious Bible study." Why did he do that? Why did he tell them about Moses and the prophets? These are all about hope in the most improbable circumstances. Moses freeing the people from slavery, enduring 40 years in the wilderness, searching for the promised land where oppression no longer exists. Prophets keep painting wild pictures of hope. Swords and shields beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks. God hears the cry of the people and brings good news to the poor. The present imperfect is not an excuse to give up hope. Whatever Jesus said in that sermon, he nailed it. Okay, maybe not the best phrase to use just after Easter, but they want him to stick around for the night and share a meal. You know what happens next. You heard it from Andy just a few minutes ago. He breaks the bread, and then they have a sense of deja vu. They've seen this somewhere before, and suddenly they see him, and he vanishes again. Cleopas and Simon probably blinked a few times and said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" These two are on fire now. It says they go back to Jerusalem at once. Remember? It's evening, probably night time, it's dark outside, and Edison hadn't yet invented the light bulb. That's still 1,800 years to come. But I bet it was a quick trip back to Jerusalem. Just because our hearts may burn within us and we have good news to share, it doesn't mean the path ahead is easy or clear. These two are out walking home in the dark with just the moon and the stars to guide them. But the story and the mission are always bigger than our plans. Sometimes you just have to make the road by walking it. Luke is ending his gospel in this chapter, but he will go on to write the Acts of the Apostles, and many of the great events are going to happen out on the road. A disciple named Philip meets a eunuch from the Queen of Sheba and is the first to be baptized. Saul is on the road to Damascus and has a vision of the risen Christ. Different to today, but similar situation. And Saul becomes a world traveler. Faith emerges as we walk that road together. Cleopas and Simon just walk out of this story. I'd love to know what they went on to do. But all that we ever hear about them is this, and only in Luke's gospel. Why don't we hear about them in the Acts of the Apostles or Paul's letters? Maybe it's because the purpose of this story today is to invite you and me, the hearer of the word, to walk that road to Emmaus. How will you face the present imperfect and spread your hope in the possibilities of the Jesus movement? To briefly return to the disclosure, the key and the climax to this story. Most likely, the account of the risen Jesus was treasured and passed on by word of mouth, and finally included in Luke's gospel because of what happened at the table that evening. The divine friend who is unseen by ordinary people as they travel this earthly road has chosen a special meeting place where he is not incognito, but is present in a strangely visible and recognizable way. The bread and the wine at the table of the Lord are the signs and the reality of his presence. He makes himself known to us in the breaking of the bread. The table is that special meeting place. This is an utterly amazing thing. That supreme light which precedes the beginning of the universe discloses himself in simple gifts. Bread and wine were the food of the common people of the land. Nothing could be more ordinary, yet on the Lord's table, nothing could be more extraordinary. Here, the supreme love that becomes embodied in the Son of Mary and sacrifices his body and his blood on a cruel cross is present with his saving power. When our hands cradle the bread, when our lips touch the cup, the most awesome thing possible is happening right here. By hope, come to the table expectantly. By faith, let your eyes be opened. By love, let the infinite lover commune with you as he did with the disciples at Emmaus. The one who is always with you in the common things of life and will be even to the end of the world is disclosed at the table. Next Sunday, in our celebration of Holy Communion, we have an ideal opportunity to bring this real meaning into our lives. When he was at the table with them, he broke the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are new pathways for us to walk. The darkness of Calvary's cross has been matched by the glory of Easter morning. The road ahead of us may be filled with fear, but there is a table waiting ahead of us. At that table, let us find strength for the journey, renewed with hope, to walk towards a new future together. Amen. It's a while since I've, shall we say, inflicted you with a modern, newly written hymn. Now's the time. Don't worry, the tune is very familiar. The tune is a lovely Easter tune. The words are very fitting and were written specially for the reading and the sermon this morning. Our next hymn is Emmaus Bound on Easter Day.
Thank you.
Praying for other people is not an escape from the hard facts of life, but an engagement with them. Let us do so now. Let us join together in prayer. Most loving God, we offer you our lives, along with the prayers we bring to you, so that our prayers and our deeds may work together in unison for the healing of the world for which Christ lived, died, and arose. Uplift believers around the world who are also accepting your message today. In spite of our superficial differences, may we all be drawn closer together in worship and outreach, that the world may see that we are the disciples of the Master of Love. Uplift your church in its attempts to serve the world. Strengthen the members who work for justice and peace. Inspire those who work with the poor and outcast. Give encouragement to those who seek to rehabilitate needy and reinvigorate those who are weary but cannot yet seek rest from their labours. Uplift those who take their place in political life, independents and minor parties, members of the government and the opposition, government ministers and backbenchers. Enable them to maintain their integrity amid numerous setbacks and compromises. Uplift all the people, both within and outside of the church, who this day watch the dying, comfort the sorrowful, feed the hungry, tend the sick, befriend the lonely, teach the young, counsel the bewildered, encourage the timid, and forgive the enemy. By your grace, multiply the effect of our individual efforts, that the curse of human misery may recede and the joy of living increase. Finally, we dedicate our offerings, whether made today or at other times, not only financial, but also our time and our talents. Take these and use them to your glory and to your use as we walk along life's road with you by our side. Amen. Closing hymn today, hymn 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
There is no evening tiredness that Christ will not share, no anxious day that can dawn without Christ being first there. There is no road to travel, no Christ empty space, no enemy to face without Christ's grace. There is no joy to celebrate without Christ's grin, no sorrow to bear without Christ's spirit within. May the compassionate ship of Christ encourage you. May the self-giving of Christ nourish you. And may the joy of the resurrection astound you and propel you into sharing with others the good news of the gospel, now and forevermore.
Thank you.